Well, good morning. So I've been gone for the last 15 days.
And who's counting? Me.
On a journey to China. And, you know, it's always a lot of work when you go somewhere like there. But at the same time, it's always such a blessing when you go. Did the video ever come up right? Or is it crooked? Okay, well, we won't worry about it. You know, the Lord amazes you every time you go somewhere and you're obedient and following His footsteps and where He tells you to go. There's always a blessing around the corner that you didn't even realize. Last year when I was in China, I had said to Dr. Jia, usually I'm in Beijing, and Beijing's a really busy city, and last year we did training in the mountains, and I said, Dr. Jia, okay, I've been in the city, I've been in the mountains, how about going to the beach? And just in passing, I said about going to the beach. Well, here, only to find out that when I said that, I didn't know, nor did Dr. Jia know, that there was going to be coming in the future of the whole project that we've been praying about and working with Dr. Jia in China. Dr. Jia is in charge of the Autism Society of China, and we've been trying to establish some type of a center where teachers could come and be trained, and also to plug in with the local church to minister to the families. In Beijing, she has found a place that can be a model site in Beijing, and we work with the teachers there. But what was very interesting is 5 months ago, Dr. Jia ran into an investor. And in China, people have to invest. If they're very wealthy, they have to invest in a charity and give part of their, about 10 or 15% of their salary to a charity. She ran into an investor that owned property in a beach area. Haikou. It's an island of China, and the government gave $10 million for this project with the investor to open up a training center for teachers in China for children with autism at a beach. The investor, when I shared with him my whole testimony of how God has led me to China, who's not a believer, after we ate and we talked for about an hour about how God has led each one of the steps, he said, I know God has spoken to you. He said, it's almost as though you gave a prophetic word about it being at a beach. And this is from a non-believer who's saying, I truly believe God has established this. This piece of property was dormant. It couldn't do anything. It wasn't prosperous. On this piece of property, there are buildings that for the investor built a track. There's a stables for horses for kids to do therapeutic horseback riding. They're putting in a swimming pool. They're having 20 families from Tibet that have children with autism coming for free treatment. They're going to stay in these dorms that they're renovating. This property is truly amazing, and it's be going and. Dr. Jia handpicked 35 teachers from a university who came to the center. We were the first people to give them training for the model site in China. It's amazing that that has happened. Through a lot of prayer, through SEAPC, and us going for the last 5 years, we're finally seeing a model site that blows my mind. I mean, there's even going to be places for teachers to stay there to be trained. And Dr. Jia wants me to continue sending teams to train these teachers to minister. Then Gail, my translator, a man that was in her wedding, lives in that city, who is a Christian, who is tied in with a local church. So we're hoping that his local church then can minister to the families that come with children with autism. We have a church in Beijing that ministers to families with children with autism there. And we have the teachers that came here to America, they're now being a model site in Beijing. So we now will have two model sites. to train teachers how to work with kids with autism. And you know, while I was there, they always take you out to eat. You eat like 14 course meals all the time. It's just what they do. They spoil me totally rotten when I am there. I mean, I am a brat. They carry my luggage. They if I say I like something, it shows up. I like the spice that was on a meat, and I got 20 bags of it to take back. they have tea and high cope because it's so hot. It's the Florida of China. It was so hot. You drink this tea, it cools you down. I don't know why. It's called Heiko tea. I said, oh, I need some of that tea. I got two big bags of it that I came home with it. They just bless you to death while you're there. It's a wonderful culture. China is just a very hospitable culture. So I had to be careful what I say I liked because I couldn't fit a lot of it in my suitcase. It was so heavy coming back through so many things that they blessed me with. So when I was at this dinner, they brought out what was called a blessing ball. And I did have pictures, but for some reason they're not coming up. It was a big ball of sticky rice, but they gave me one, and then they gave me the hammer. This is the blessing hammer. See, I'm gonna keep this. This is the blessing hammer, and you bang the ball, and you put a big hole in it, and then you share the blessing with other people. And I just, the Lord was just speaking to me, you know. Then the restaurant, I said, wow, this is so cool. They said, we will let you come and watch. The restaurant was getting ready to close, but they said, we will make you your own blessing ball, and you can watch how it's made. And while I was watching it being made, I did have a video, but it's crooked. But what they do is they turn on the fire, and they put oil in the pan. And then this woman just works it with chopsticks and a spatula. And I just, you know, and sometimes people were in the way. I couldn't see her making it, you know, because they were so busy in the restaurant. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, you know, sometimes before your blessing comes, you're in the fire, you know, you're being tossed around, and God is molding you into something. And I just was so, but sometimes people are in your way, and you don't see your blessing, you know, you don't see it, because they block your view of it. Even though God spoke to you and told you this, it was hard, you know, because you're being tossed and you're being in the fire, and they would adjust the fire. Sometimes it would be hot, sometimes it would be low, and this, they're tossing this big ball, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it becomes this really big ball. And I just felt, I said, you know, Lord, that's how I felt so many times in my life. You know, Lord spoke to you, said you're going to do something, and you're being tossed, and the fire's burning, and you don't see it, and the trials are coming, and you feel like, oh, my gosh, am I ever going to see this blessing? And then all of a sudden, the blessing comes, and then you get one more blow, and you think, oh, ow, this really hurts. And then all of a sudden, the blessing comes. And when the blessing comes, you don't hold it to yourself, but you give it out to other people. Because everybody tore off this ball, and you tore a big chunk, and you ate it, and it was very sweet. And it was for everyone to share. So you shared your blessing with other people. And I just felt like that was so symbolic to me. You know, it's not easy when you're traveling and you're going to China and you're praying for something to happen, and you get so discouraged, and it's like that with a lot of things in life. And you never know, though, when the blessing's going to come, and you never know when it does come, then how you can give it to others. And I felt like, you know, we finally saw this beautiful site, the center. I couldn't even imagine having a center like that in the United States. For the families, but it's going to be an incredible place. And how God, just if you're faithful and you go, and he'll speak to you without you even knowing that you may have been even speaking through prophecy, and how that ministers to the unbeliever. This investor was just so, he said, I am truly a believer, in Jesus. He said, I see God in your eyes. I know that he has led you here. I know that God has, you have opened our eyes to what God can do in China. And he goes, thank you for that. And then the last night, he put us up in this place, like the Ritz-Carlton, to stay. And my blessing was this huge blessing right before I came home, was to stay in this beautiful place that he took us to. And again, he thanked me. He goes, I know God has led you here. And I just had to say praise God for the blessing. The blessing was probably bigger for me because I could see God's hand working across the world for the children with autism. That was incredible. And then I come home, and my staff here from the church bless me by decorating my office with this beautiful stuff to talk about, you know, again, the blessing of blessing our own children here in America. And what a blessing that was for me to come home then and see, because we moved into a brand new building while I was gone, because we are growing, being blessed to bless other children. Dan worked very hard on our building it. And many families are going to be blessed here in America as well. So I thank you all for your prayers and your support, because you all are a blessing to me. And I wish I had a big old, I wish I could have brought the blessing ball home, but it melts. Because they gave me one to take to share the next day, but by the night it was all melted. So sometimes blessings melt. So, but thank you.
Well, I actually asked Kim to share that because of how well it fit with the word that the Lord gave me today that I have whittled back to be just very brief, but I want to pick up on what Kim was saying. What she didn't tell you was that her husband, who has been waiting forever for her to come back, was really also put to the test when she called and told me about a delay in the flight. I don't know if you've ever traveled a distance and had to make connections, but so she had this delay that set everything back. I mean, delays. There's a word that I really heard the Lord speaking to me about this morning, that God sometimes tests our faith through delays, right? Through the waiting. And so when her first flight was delayed, all the connections then were extremely tight. And then she made the first connection, which was in Vancouver. But the problem was that after Vancouver, she had to actually go through customs. And their policy there, because of now the security that airports have to go through, was that you had to wait until your name appeared on the screen that your luggage, which had come from China for her, had been checked and then entered into the new plane that you were going to be boarding. And so Kim has, you know, she has about an hour to catch her next flight until she had to wait 45 minutes at customs. And at a terminal that wasn't the terminal that she was going to be departing from now in 15 minutes. And so she actually was the very last one to have her name come up that she was free to go. The only one left, you know. And then, you know, you look at your watch and you have 15 minutes before the actual flight takes off. And these flights, they actually board a half hour beforehand and then usually close the doors. And so she literally ran to make the connection, and then that made her late for the next one, the last leg from Chicago to Pittsburgh. And honestly, I didn't think she was going to make it because this one was even tighter than that 15 minutes that we were talking about. And I actually had texted her the flights in the morning, thinking she's never going to get it. She's never going to make it. And I was starting to look for a hotel for her near the Chicago O'Hare Airport because I didn't think that she was going to make it. Somehow, she got there just as the doors were closing and made it home. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, anybody ever read any of Max Lucado's stuff? Max Lucado is a great author. He has a book called 6 Hours One Friday. You know, it talks about the crucifixion of Christ. And in it, he actually tells the story of how he was in a hurricane in a boat. And he had said that, you know, in his life, there was an old man that actually taught him to sail and really taught him how to weather the storms. And he said, this old man gave me the advice to actually, during the storm, to go out into deep water and drop 4 anchors off of each corner of the boat and pray that the anchors hold. And in the book, he says that this is exactly what he did during the storm, is he went out into deep water and let down all 4 anchors and weathered out the bad storm that was at sea that time. And then he writes about how that God does, just like the song Oceans that we sing sometimes, he leads us into the deep waters. You know, what I mean by that is to the places that maybe we wouldn't necessarily want to go on our own, or to the situations we wouldn't necessarily want to walk into on our own. But he does that to literally show himself strong and to increase our faith. You know, how do you know how much faith you have? So we know that faith is what pleases God. So wouldn't it be natural for us to want more faith, right? You know, if it pleases God, we want to have that which pleases God. So, Lord, increase our faith. Well, you know how he does it? Through the testing of our faith. Because you never know how much faith you have until it's tested. It's just like you never know how strong you are until you put more weights on the bench to see how much you can push out, right? I mean, that's how you know. And it's the testing of our faith that actually develops that perseverance and helps us to see that God is faithful, right? But the testing of the faith is not always easy, right? And especially as we have to wait sometimes through the storm for God to show up and show himself faithful. There's one scripture that I just wanted to share with you, and we can bring it up in the big screen. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just look at a couple of verses starting in verse 3 today. So how many know that old song? I remember hearing George Beverly Shea sing it about the anchor holds, right? Right? Do you know that song? I don't remember all the words, but George Beverly Shea, you know, it's that deep baritone voice. I can just hear him saying it, you know, that the anchor holds and grips the solid rock, right? Well, literally, the anchor is our faith, and it holds on to Christ. That's the deal. So this scripture says this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Peter starts out and he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's kept in heaven for you. Who, listen to this part, who through faith are shielded." Now that in itself is a passage of scripture that would preach, you know, who through faith are shielded. So if God is pleased with faith, and as we exercise our faith, this scripture is saying that God loves to put his shield around those who have that faith, right? Again, it's a part of him showing himself strong on behalf of those who would trust in him. So like you always say, you know, Lord, I pray for the hedge of protection, right? My mother loves to pray that prayer. She's a mother, so when she prays for her kids and grandkids, Lord, put that hedge of protection around them, right? Well, this passage of Scripture says that when we exercise our faith becomes a shield for us, who are shielded by God's power, it says, until the coming of the salvation, that final salvation that will be revealed at the last time. And then he says this, in that great salvation, in that great relationship that you have now with God through Christ, in that relationship birthed by grace, the grace of God, in that relationship furthered by love, you finding out more of the unconditional love of God, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And then he makes it very clear. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed at the end of time. You know, I really think that in the days that we're living in, that God really wants us to develop true, authentic, strong faith. And honestly, I really think that there are people that can profess faith in Christ that really then don't live by faith afterwards, that they really don't have that kind of faith that that if it would test it would hold. You know what I mean? I really believe that in the early days of the Christian church, God wanted so much, Jim, to establish the church in the right way and to show it authentic, to show it real, that the persecutions that came to those early apostles, it was incredible. You know, they were called to put their faith on the line, and for them it was a matter of life and death, as you know. And they were willing. Do you know what kind of testimony that provided then for everybody else that saw it? That they were willing to put their faith on the line, even if it meant giving up their life for what they believed in. Do you know what that does to people that that see it, that witness a faith that's strong? You know, when you think about it, even when we read it in the Bible, when we read it, it inspires us, because you know that these men who were fearful before, you know, they were changed so dramatically that they were able to have such faith that nothing would shake it. Even the persecution that ended in death would not shake their faith. And that inspires you. You know one thing for sure, that no one in their right mind, you know, would willingly go to their death if they truly didn't believe what they were believing. You know that it's real, and that's what other people could see. Other people that were not believers. This man that Kim was speaking of, this investor from China who, you know, was a non-believer, saw Christ in her, saw her faith being exercised. What are you doing here halfway around the world? What are you doing here giving of yourself? What are you doing here? And as Kim shared the testimony of how she was called to serve children with autism and how she got to China, then this man was able to say, that's God. This man who wasn't a believer, that's God. You know, I have this one wonderful, I have lots of beautiful people that I visit through hospice, and I have this one very beautiful woman that inspires me every time that I go to visit her, because she has such a strong faith. You know what she has? She has an expectant faith. And she has challenges in her life, not the least of which is her own physical health challenges, but challenges beyond that in her and her family that are even now going through things that that are very difficult, very challenging. But this woman, Amy, you know her. This woman just, no matter what happens, listen to this, no matter what happens, she basically steps back and says, okay, Lord, how are you going to get us out of this one? Like, okay, Lord, I'm waiting, I'm watching to see your hand. And honestly, she has such an expectant faith. You know what I mean by that? Like she literally has faith to expect in every situation God to show himself strong on behalf of her and her family. And, you know, the waiting part is certainly challenging, even for her, even for us, even for anybody, you know, the waiting for God to come through. That certainly is not the easy part, right? But we're in good company when we read the pages of Scripture on those that also had to wait for God to show up, for God to make good on his promises, right? Many, 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 many examples in Scripture. This passage in this first Peter passage, it really helps us understand that there's nothing, and I mean nothing, that happens in our life that God is not aware of. There's nothing. That's the first place to start whenever you're going through stuff, right? The first place to start, no matter what you're going through, is to know God is aware. In fact, he was aware before it happened, and he certainly is aware now that you're going through it, right? The fact that God is aware is the starting point, but it's not the ending point of our faith. It's just the beginning of understanding how we can trust in God. God is aware. That's a wonderful thing. You know, he's, like I always say, not that kind of God that just sits up in heaven oblivious to the things that his people are going through. Can you imagine a God that's big enough and powerful enough to actually see the entire world of people and everything and understand every single thing that's going to happen and that is happening in our lives, huh? But that's exactly what kind of God we have. Now, the second part is the second step of developing that kind of rock-solid faith in God. Not only is he aware of everything that's going to happen in your life, everything that's happened in your life, right? In the life of a Christian, if he has allowed it, that means it's already passed his test of knowing that he can use it for your good. Now, we make it clear that God doesn't plan, doesn't cause all the bad things that happen to you to happen, right? He doesn't have to. We live in a broken world, and there's a lot of problems that go on in our world. Some we bring on ourselves, some that just happen because we're in this fallen world. Some that we feel like we're innocent victims to. And indeed, not everything that happens is God saying, I'm going to cause this to happen, you know, to test their faith, or I'm going to cause this to happen in their life. Not everything is like that. But if it's happening in the life of a person who loves God, that means it's already passed his test. His test of what? His test of being able then to, if he allows it, to use it, to make us stronger in our faith, to make us more like Christ. It passes his test and then he allows it to happen in our life. And we know that all the things that God allows are not always easy on us, right? The testing of our faith, though, develops perseverance. So when we're going through stuff, no matter what it is, and we have to wait until we see God's hand, right, being revealed to work it out for our good, right? It's at that moment when faith is put to the test, when we have to wait. We haven't seen his hand yet, but we're able to trust that he's aware, that if he's aware and he's allowing it, he will use it for our good. Amen? Listen, you know, some things that we call disappointments are God's appointments, you know, because of the timing of when God knows it's best to have things happen or not happen in our lives. Faith, Hebrews says, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, God will always bless faith, and he'll always make an opportunity for you then to gain that blessing through the testing of your faith. You know, faith pleases God because faith trusts God without being forced. Faith loves willingly. Faith pleases God, and he rewards it because faith is making room for God to work in your life. Faith is saying, God, I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet, but I have so much faith in you, I'm believing it even though it hasn't happened yet. And that's when hope arises, right? And hope then is being able to say, Lord, I see with the eyes of faith, and it causes something to rise up within me that says, it's going to be all right, isn't it? It's going to be all right. You're going to get me through this. You're going to make good on your promise. You're going to see it through. But I need to hold on to you. I need that anchor, right, to get me through this storm, to weather the storm. I need this anchor. And God then, in his perfect timing, shows himself strong on behalf of those who trust in him. Abraham, he waited 25 years for the promise of God to come true. And because of it, it says it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. He believed God against all the physical evidence of his body and the body of his wife. He believed God's promise for him because God had given him a sure word. See, that's what we need. As we close here this morning, that's what we need from the Lord in our life, is for him to speak to us, directly to us, about his will for us. And as we read Scripture, he can do that. As we read his word, he can speak to us through it that we know God is indeed giving me a personal word that I can then hold on to. Amen? Last week we said that God, through those personal words, right, speaks into our life. The God of the universe says, I am so aware of you that I want to make this known to you. And as we tune in and we hear him, right, in that still small voice, speak to us, we hold on to that word by faith. And we say, Lord, I'm going to trust in that. And then the waiting comes, and the devil tries to sow the seeds of doubt. Did God really say? Huh? Right? Did God really say? The enemy will always do that, to try to bring doubt into your faith. Did God really say? And then what will you do? Will you be able to say, God is faithful, and I'm going to hold on to his word because I know he spoke it to me? Right? And as we do, when we wait for God's timing, then we'll have the testimony, right? It takes a test to have a testimony. You see? It takes a test to have a testimony. So don't fear the test. And if you think I'm preaching to myself, you'd be right. Don't fear the test, because out of it you will have a testimony. Hold on to your faith in God. It will never disappoint you. God is faithful. How many receive that today? Let's stand and pray.